Make the announcement about communion, or did I totally forget it? Okay. One more announcement. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the back to sign up for communion for next year. Please be sure you sign that up, because I've also given Philip permission to draft people, so be sure you get signed up for that, please. Psalms 23. That's in the Old Testament. Psalms right before Proverbs. Turn to Psalms 23, if you would, please. And I'm going to get one of you just to recite it from memory. No, I'm not going to do that. We probably all could recite it from memory. We're going to read through it twice. We'll change up a couple of words the second time just to give it a little different meaning maybe, or a little clearer meaning. Whichever one you want to use is fine. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters of rest. He restores my soul. He guides me in the tracks of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will return to the house of the Lord for length of days. When you read the psalm, when you read Psalm 23, what feeling, what emotion do you get while you're reading it or right after you've read it? Yeah, peace. Peace, perfect peace. I don't know how old I was when I first started understanding words and what they meant. When I first started hearing this psalm, I would hear, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If the Lord's my shepherd, why wouldn't I want him? That's just the image I got. He's my shepherd, but I don't want him. Totally different from what David meant. To me, there ought to be a period after shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, period. I do not, or I shall not want, period. How many of you have sent Santa Claus a Christmas list? Keep your hand down, Mitch. Okay. I don't need anything. One of the kids texted me and said, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" I texted back and said, "World peace." What do I need? You can tell I got all the food I need. Jill and I are very happy. God has blessed us so very much. I don't need anything. Got a ton of wants, but I don't need anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not need. That's better for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. One of the commentaries I looked at here was talking about that sheep. Yeah, here we go. Any person who knows anything about sheep, now that's not me because I don't know anything about them. Any person who knows anything about sheep knows that they will never lie down when they are hungry. Therefore, the scene here is the green pastures where the sheep have eaten their fill, and then when no longer hungry, they lie down. We're full. We're content. I don't need anything. I'm going to lie down. And I'm going to lie down beside these still waters or these waters of rest. At first, I was kind of thinking, maybe that's like a stagnant pool almost, you know, just still waters, not moving or anything. Most of the commentaries think it is referring to a spring-fed pool. Son, you ever been out hiking and you find a spring and you're thirsty? That water is so good. Man, it hits a spot, refreshes you, restores your soul. That's where we're laying down. That's where God is putting us. We don't need anything. He's taking care of all of our needs. We're content. Just going to lay down and rest and relax. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I like this other translation instead of paths. He guides me in the tracks of righteousness for his name's sake. Who do you think made the first tracks that we're following? Yeah, that's right, God. You knew it. God laid out the plan, the track of righteousness. That's what he leads us in, is in the tracks of righteousness for his name's sake. He laid down righteousness because he is righteous. That's God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, Doug made a comment in his sermon Sunday that sometimes life just really beats you up. Sometimes it'll knock you down, and it'll kick, and it'll kick, and it'll kick, and it hurts, and it's hard. Even when you're going through that, God is still with you. It's one thing I love about you folks here. Some of us can hurt, and we're surrounded by love. And we get bread, and we get cookies, and we get love, and we get errands run, and we have things done for us, and we're loved. And the reason y'all do that is because you're following in the paths or the tracks of righteousness. Good job. I fear no evil or fear no harm, for you are with me. And let me go back to that just a minute. Another part of this being comforted is talking to people. When you're hurting, let somebody know. Look, folks, I love you, but I'm no mind reader. And you can ask my fellow elders, I'm terrible at checking emails. I'm sorry, but I just am. Let me know. I'll give you a hug. I'll do what I can to help you. And so will a lot of other people here too. You got to talk to them. You got to let them know. If they come to you and say, hey, how you doing? Don't just say fine. Unless you really are fine. That's great. Let them know what's going on. Take them aside. Come here, let me talk to you just a minute. They care. I fear no harm, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I always wonder why he said rod and staff. What's the difference? What do the two mean? And one commentator says the rod was a short oaken club. That means it's made out of oak, Mitch. Okay. The rod was a short oaken club, strong wood, for defense. The staff was a longer pole used for climbing or leaning upon it. So when you're Carson's age, you don't need a staff to help you walk. You're fine. You can hike all day long. When you get to be as old as somebody standing in front of you tonight, you may need a staff sometimes to help you walk a little bit. He's got something there to defend you, that rod, and he's got something there to help you follow in those tracks of righteousness. It's his rod and his staff. And he's going to protect you and help you walk in those tracks of righteousness. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. I skipped the part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. One of the commentators said, just picture this. You're having a war. You're in a battle. And there in the middle of the battlefield is this fantastically loaded table with every Christmas and Thanksgiving dish you can think of on it. It's yours to eat if you want to. Right in the middle of the battle. We don't have a clue what God and Jesus and the Spirit are doing for us spiritually. The battles they are waging for you and for me, we really can't imagine what they're doing. We get glimpses of it from some of the scriptures. They love us so much that not only did Jesus come and die for us, but they continually fight for our souls in ways that maybe God can explain to us when we get to heaven. Here, we just can't fathom it. We just can't imagine it. There's that much love for us. And they're fighting for us. And while they're doing all this, we can be at peace. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell, or I will return to the house of the Lord forever, or for a long time, or for the rest of my life. Whatever thoughts you want to put in there at the end of that phrase. Who wrote this song? Okay, we're just about everybody. I don't know of anybody who doesn't say it was David. So David wrote the song. What do you know about David? Say it louder, what?
You're a shepherd. They were a shepherd. Can't hear me. Can't hear me. Okay, he's a shepherd. What else you know about David?
He's not using the rock.
He what?
He's not using the rock.
He didn't use the rock. Slinging the stone, yes, he did. What else you know about David? Okay, he had a staff. He had a staff. He probably had a rod too, yes. What else about David? Yes. One person he was running for his life from.
Saul.
Okay. Good enough. There are others, but at least Saul. Saul just happened to be what? Today. Yeah. He's king. And he's running from him. Scared to death. Well, he's going to try to kill him. What else do you know about David? Who was David?
The boy who killed the bear and the knife.
Killed a bear alive with what?
Probably the staff.
Maybe the rod with God's help for sure. Yeah. Who was David? What do you know about David?
He
was a what?
Sinner.
What do you know about him? How so? What did he do? What kind of sinner? Murder? Who did he murder? Hang on to that. Who did he murder? Okay, that's you. Okay, all right. You're right. Yeah. Adultery, yeah. Committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and then had Uriah killed. Well, he didn't kill. Yes, he did. He didn't kill. Absolutely did. You think?
No.
Can you give us an example? And Bob, you're saying this makes him a man after God's own heart? You're saying we're supposed to admit our mistakes? Adultery and murder? Even when you're the king? And the whole nation is going to know about it? And you're going to remain king after this? And you're going to have family troubles, but you're still going to be blessed by God, you know? What is that song?
How many of you, well, let me ask this would be easier. How many of you have never sinned? You notice my hand is not up here. Now, when you sin, how much you think about God? Amen to that. Not at all. Man, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. And this is just great. I'm having a ball. And then, hopefully, you have that conscience that comes to you and says, you're the man. And it's like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. That godly sorrow, that godly repentance. You know, just maybe try and put yourself in the place of David in the case of Bathsheba. Lust. I mean, he sees her out there bathing. She's totally naked. She's bathing, and she is beautiful. He's a living human man. And he allows lust to take over. And he goes through with the adultery. And that can't be found out, so he goes through with the murder. And then he says to Nathan, yes, I am the man. Not in those exact words, but that's his reaction. That's how he's a man after God's own heart. And when he is running from Absalom and trying to save himself and the kingdom, he knows there are people in the kingdom that God loves. And he knows God loves Absalom. And he knows, too, that this is partly his responsibility because he brought it on because of his sins. Nathan said, you'll stay king, but you're going to have troubles, buddy. And he did. And when Absalom died, he was, again, just distraught. That's his son. Because of his repentance, because of his wanting to be forgiven, that's how he's a man after God's own heart. We're not perfect, folks. And that's the thing. To me, that's the hardest thing for me. Was the hardest thing for me to get my head around as far as David. He did all these things. He had all these troubles happen to him. Now, granted, in his early days, he was a hero. Killed Goliath. Was an example to the army of Israel. Was an example to the nation of Israel. Was an example to the nation of Philistines. About his faith. He killed the lion. He did that with God. God worked through him and did that. He let God work through him and do that. And when he became king at first, it was fantastic. He could have killed Saul, who was trying to kill him. Not going to touch God's anointing. Not going to do that. Was in the same cave with Saul. Still didn't kill him. Didn't hurt him at all. Then things happened. He grew up and he sinned. He did, though, repent and he asked for forgiveness. How old was David when he wrote this psalm? Where was he in his life? Why do you think so? You read the same commentary I did, right? Yeah. That's what most folks think, and I agree with that. It makes more sense. There are some circumstances in David's life where he could have written it right after. For example, he could have written it right after he killed Goliath. I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death with this giant who had his spear and his armor, and all I had was a sling and a stone, or five stones, excuse me. Get the kids in here so I can get it right. And that, and you talk about a valley of the shadow of death. If someone's behind Goliath, you did have a shadow on him. Valley of the shadow of death. And he went right on with God's help. So he could have written it then. That would be very possible. Could have written it after some of his slaughters of the Philistines. When Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. Most folks, though, and me personally, it's my opinion too, that he was looking back over his life. And I think he was thinking a lot about verse 4 through 6, family troubles, because I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death or the valley of deep darkness, deep sorrow with my family that I've brought on. Even in that, though, I've repented, I've turned back to God, and He loves me. And He's still blessing me and making me rich. How easy is it to keep your faith strong? What's that look for? I'm going to read it as it depends. Having a great Christmas season. Got everything I wanted. It was on my list, even though, like I said, didn't need a thing. Got to fill this up 2 or 3 or 4 times. So much more than it needed. God is so good. How do you keep your faith strong? What did we say earlier? What did we just say a little while ago? What did we say we do with each other? Talk. Hilarious. Y'all know the story of the poem about footprints. I love the poem. Man has a dream one night, hopefully this right. Man has a dream one night, walking along the beach, talking to Jesus, talking to God, which we'll put in there. Life is so good. Walking along with my Lord, my Savior, my friend. Life is fantastic. Then the storm's rolling in. And it's rough. Man, it's hard. And God, when I look back at the path on the beach there, when the storm was really tough, there's one set of footprints. Where were you? I would say one set of footprints. God in mind, where were you? My little sweet child, don't you know I'm scared of you? How? Because of what you did. You. Like I said, I don't know anything about sheep. I don't know how smart sheep are and how many decisions they make on their own. I know one thing, though, about a shepherd, about a caring shepherd. He can only take care of the sheep that will follow. If I'm going to be inside these restful, delightful waters, if I'm going to lay down because I'm content because of what God has done for me, and if I'm going to follow in the tracks or the paths of righteousness that He has already trod, because that's what He's leading me in, it's got to be because I'm following Him. One little twist to that whole concept, and it's brought out in the scriptures. What twist am I trying to get to? You've got to read my mind here. It shouldn't be difficult, so I'm going to tell you.
It dig deep in. So God doesn't care about you when you're righteous. He just leaves you alone. He goes back. Goes right back over sin. Not that. If we stray away, He will bring us back. What's got to happen, though, in order for Him to bring us back? Yeah. You've got to be willing to let Him bring you back. Yes, sir. Please, just let me pick you up and take you back home. We'll be glad to pray for you.
Savior, say, thy strength.